loving eyes on me. As near his cross I stole, a gentle but condemning power was stored within that eye, and ne'er shall I forget that hour. From henceforth till I die, he's looking on you. He's looking on you. Oh, never were love and compassion, love and compassion so true. He's looking on you. He's looking on you. How can you refuse him? How can you refuse him? He's looking, looking on you. Another look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. My blood is for a ransom shed. I die that thou mayest live. O sinner, thou must meet that gaze, in judgment or in grace. Believe, repent, and change thy ways, ere thou behold his face. He's looking on you. He's looking on you. Oh, never were love and compassion, love and compassion so true. He's looking on you. He's looking on you. How can you refuse him? How can you refuse him? He's looking, looking on you.
Going to be taking our Bibles this morning and turning to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Just one correction for those who are deacons and trustees. We do not meet this morning. We meet this evening after the service. Another correction. The part about being short. That is probably not true either, but anyway. I do appreciate, and I know Brother Brad and the family does, just the way you've reached out to their family these last several days, and we need to just keep reaching out and ministering to them in whatever way they'll allow or that the Lord leads us to do. Yesterday, we were responsible for Awake 25, and the last two Saturdays have been very sparse on our end because we had a ladies' conference last week and a couples' retreat. Of course, this week with the funeral, a lot of ladies preparing food and just a lot of things going on yesterday. So I certainly understand people not coming out. We have only a few more weeks to canvas, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of homes that we would like to reach. So I'm asking you next Saturday to make your way to Victory Baptist Church. We pray. And yesterday we prayed, we confessed, and we spent a season in prayer before we go out those doors. And even if the only thing you do is to take a door hanger and stick it on the door and you never speak to a single person, that would sure be a big help. So If you would take it upon yourself next Saturday to come out to Victory Baptist there in Fairmont. We meet at 10 o'clock to pray. We go out from 11 o'clock to 1. Also, for those who are involved in ministry, and of course you've received a letter, if you're in the choir ministry, this will not concern you. Those who are helping us with the financial arrangements and money room, this will not concern you. But those who are parking lot attendants, security personnel, children's church ministry, nursery ministry, ushering, there will be separate meetings at 2 o'clock. People who are in charge, head of those ministries, will be giving instruction. It is only for an hour. So if you cannot come out canvassing, or even if you choose not to, it is a desire that we have as many people there as possible. So that would enlist about 30 people here in this building right now. So next Saturday, if you, again, cannot go to anything else, you're welcome to come to the lunch at 1 o'clock, but if you choose not to do that, 2 o'clock there, Victory Baptist, and it's a very important meeting because now we are really just a matter of a few weeks away, something we've been praying for and planning for 2 years there at the Nathan Goff Armory, Awake 25. And some of you are hearing about this for the first time. We want to encourage you to come and be part of this, the 17th through the 21st. I am really, really looking forward to it. And I'm going to be honest with you. The devil is fighting this. He is fighting this. And I won't go into some of those things that have been happening, but just really covet your prayers that God would do a good work and that God would prepare all of us for that very, very special week. Let's read together Matthew chapter 26. Going to begin with the 17th through the 19th verse. Matthew 26, the 17th verse. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, if you will, jump down to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Father, I thank you for this privilege of being able to be in your house today. Not just a privilege for me, a privilege for every person here, be they a member of this church, or a guest. Lord, thank you for the freedom to be able to be here. Thank you that we do not fear arrest as a number of ministers and people were arrested in China this past week just for meeting together to worship you. Thank you for this freedom. But thank you most of all for the freedom that you give in your Son. Freedom from sin, freedom from hell, freedom from death. Freedom from everlasting sorrow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Lord, use this time around your word as we anticipate the Lord's Supper. As we gather for this time of communion, Lord, just allow our hearts to be totally engaged this morning, and we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Look again at verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. A thought came to me the other day as I anticipated our time of communion this morning about another supper. The Word of God in the Gospels uses the term supper to describe what sometimes we call the Lord's table or we call communion. John used this word, and Luke used this word. They called it supper. Now, for most people my age, you remember years ago, especially growing up on a farm, your favorite meal of the day was supper. There was a supper. And I couldn't help but thinking of that other supper that we looked at 2 weeks ago, John 19, verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you're going to be there.
Amen.
You're going to participate in that supper.
Yes.
Those words that came to mind go along with what we see here in Matthew 26, 29. What a moment that will be when we are with our Savior at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
And I got good news for you. At that supper, it will not be Pastor Vaughn who will be conducting the dinner, the supper. Our 46, 47, 48 year history now, I'm kind of losing track. This church went up in 1979. Pastor Nisley, the founding pastor for 20 plus years here, and Pastor Pritt here, and myself. It won't be Pastor Nisley who conducts this supper that Jesus spoke about. It won't be Pastor Pritt. It won't be Pastor Vaughn. Glad to have Pastor Hopkins here with us. It won't be Pastor Hopkins. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I realize something. We are commanded in Scripture to do this as often as we would. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. As often as you will. I grew up in a church with 10,000 members, and we did communion one time a year. It's a big deal to give communion to several thousand people. It takes a little while to get that done. Of course, I had more than four people serving it, mind you, but it just took a while. So we only did it once a year. But we had a family here that was part of our church family. They're now in Florida. When they were here, they had come out of a church that was not a Baptist church, and they did communion every single Sunday. In fact, they opened every service with communion. No singing, no preaching. They began every Sunday morning service with communion. And he approached me one day and said, why do we not do communion every Sunday? And so I just shared with him, well, you know, the Bible says, as oft as you do, everybody does it a little bit differently. We normally, and you know how scheduling goes, sometimes things just get so messed up. We normally do communion about once a month. That's been our tradition here. But you know what? It doesn't matter how often. We get this tendency. It's just something that we got to do after preaching, and then I hope they don't hold us over too long. I'm just being honest with you, because there have been times I've felt that way. Oh man, we got communion this morning. That means an extra 15 minutes in church. So I hope they kind of go fast. I hope the crowd's not too big so they don't have too many to serve. We can just kind of get through this quickly. And I understand, listen, I understand that how easy of a mentality that is to have, because I've been there myself. And you know what? You're going to see, if you will, the same tradition this morning that you see every time that we fulfill this ordinance that God's given to us. But when Jesus said to his disciples, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, he's talking about a supper that he will serve. And ain't any of us going to be bored with that. You might get tired of seeing me up here. You won't get tired of the one who serves that supper. It will be Jesus who leads it, just as he promised those disciples. Jesus with his apostles gathered for this final night together before his crucifixion to take part in this Passover meal. And that evening together, Jesus declared to his followers what the apostle Paul would declare to the church at Corinth. We set it as our verse of the week together. The last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the 7th verse. For even Christ, our Passover, is crucified, yes, sacrificed for us. The Jewish people, from the year they were delivered from Egypt, which now is about 3,300 years plus, have been faithfully observing Passover. I mean, just a matter of months after they left the borders of Egypt, God said, I want you to observe this. Well, in fact, we can say they did it in Egypt. The very first Passover was there in Egypt itself. So let me correct myself. Jesus, a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. Was faithful to remember Passover as well. We see it accounted here, but I can tell you all 33 years of his life, he was faithful to do what every Jew does, and that is to keep Passover.
Amen.
You'll remember a good number of years ago that we observed the Passover Seder here. Our missionary, we have a number of missionaries now to the Jews, but Fred Bennett, who has stood in this pulpit a number of times, ministered for a number of years in Ukraine to the Jews. On a Sunday night service, we went downstairs in our fellowship hall. Before we had that, we had plenty of room. We crammed ourselves into that fellowship hall downstairs. I remember that Passover Seder. And Brother Bennett led us in the Passover Seder. It was a very, very interesting time. And we all learned a lot that night. He taught every aspect of what the Passover Seder meant. That word Seder just means order. That's what the word Seder means. So it's the Passover order, if you will. The Jews have a certain order that they follow as they have the Passover together. The Jews' Mishnah, which was the first written collection of Jewish traditions, if you will, oral traditions, established and codified and just preserve the Jewish law. The second temple was destroyed. They realized that they were in danger of being dispersed, which several years later the Jews were dispersed by the Romans. And they came to the conclusion, you know what? We've just watched our temple destroyed. We better do something to protect the things that are no longer in writing. And they developed the Mishnah to help them. The word Mishnah means to study by repetition. Repetition is good.
Yes,
amen. That's how you memorize Scripture, repetition.
That's
how you learn directions, repetition. You say, this kind of gets repetitious, and that's a good thing. Why? Because it reminds us of what our Savior did for us.
Amen.
This do in remembrance of me. I want you to remember what I did for you. That repetition is good. Again, the Mishnah helped preserve and teach the Seder, the order of Passover. Now, this is interesting. And that night each year in the Passover Seder, four cups are presented and drunk from. Now, sometimes it might be a single cup and it's refilled for each particular part of Passover. But basically, it represents four cups that are presented and drunk from during the Passover order or the Passover Seder. It's really based out of the book of Exodus chapter 6. So I want you to turn back with me quickly to Exodus chapter 6. I want you to see this. In Exodus chapter 6, I want you to look at three verses actually. Exodus chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 6. In Exodus chapter 6, the sixth verse, the Bible says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And add verse 8 because of its importance. "And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." Now we know the Jews will in the millennial kingdom, as they now occupy Israel, will be the great nation on the face of the earth.
Amen.
they will be the lead pony, not the United States, not China, not Russia, Israel. As Christ reigns from that place.
Amen.
I point that out as a comparison. You and I, we don't necessarily look for the millennial kingdom, although we'll be part of it. We'll serve in the millennial kingdom. That real focus is on God's people, Israel. We're focused on heaven. That's where I'm going. I'm going there not because I'm a good guy, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a Baptist, but because Jesus Christ cleansed my sin and saved my soul.
Yes, Lord.
And that's my only hope, nothing else. But when you look at verse 8, I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's our hope. That's our land. That's what we look forward to. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You'll notice in this passage, especially verses 6 and 7, the representation of the cups of Passover as the Jews celebrated each year. The first cup is the cup of sanctification called the Kiddush, the cup of sanctification. It's taken from that phrase in verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. While they were still in Egypt, God set apart Israel from Egypt. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this when you're reading that, and I know a lot of you have read that passage many times, because it's kind of exciting to read about the plagues. And you're kind of going, get them. You ever do that one?
Right.
Well, you know, the first 2, 3, 4 plagues fell on the Israelites just like they did the Egyptians. Now, they weren't devastating plagues. And there were things that were short-lived, but every Jew there realized, this God is serious. This God is powerful. Remember, they had worshipped hundreds of gods for the last 430 years. They really didn't know who the I Am was. Now they're learning. But remember the passage there in Exodus where it says that God separated Israel from Egypt.
Yes.
And while they're still in Goshen, they're still there as slaves, the devastating plagues that would ravage the land of Egypt and then take their firstborn, they touched all the Egyptians. They never touched God's people. God set them apart. Remember, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Hebrews chapter 10, the 10th verse, says this, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified means to be set apart. It was by Jesus' death on the cross, where his body was broken for you and me, that we were set apart. I love Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The Bible is very plain. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, the Bible tells us. There was a day in my life, 49 years ago, where I was set apart. Set apart from sin and set apart to Christ. And if you have called on Jesus to be your Savior, that day happened to you. Listen, in a sense, we have the cup of sanctification in Jesus Christ. In the Jewish Seder, there is a second cup called the cup of deliverance. And again, going back to that passage in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, there's a phrase that says this, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I'm going to set you apart, and then I'm going to rid you out of their bondage. God worked to not only set apart Israel from Egypt, but he worked to set them free. You know what? You and I, because of our salvation, have been set apart from the world. We're sanctified. But I'm getting really interested in the deliverance part of this.
Yes, amen.
Where we're going to be free from this.
Amen.
We're going to be free from this. I mean, we live in a great nation. We have privileges that the rest of the world covets after.
That's right.
But it is nothing like heaven. It's nothing like having that freedom. Remember, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. It's not an offense to the holy God who saved you for you to call him Daddy. Well, listen, I believe we ought to pray as Jesus taught us, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ought to hallow the name of God. He's the great and dreadful God. We ought to recognize him for that. He's the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. We ought to recognize that. He's Jehovah. He's all these things. And we ought to reverence and hallow his name. Brad, I don't want to make you cry. But it's good sometimes just call him Daddy. I know Donna's not here today. She just lost her daughter. Sometimes it's just good to call him Daddy. Daddy, I need you.
Yes, sir.
John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus freed me.
Amen.
And I'm just waiting for the orders to transport out of this place.
Praise you, Lord.
Into my heavenly home. That's the only thing I'm waiting for.
Amen.
You're looking at a free man. And I'm looking at free men and free women, those of you who know Jesus Christ as your own Savior. We've been set apart, and we have been delivered from our sins, and one day we're going to be delivered from this world.
Amen.
There's a third cup in the Passover Seder. It's interesting because this cup is actually the first cup after the meal is completed, and this is probably the cup that we're looking at when we look at the Gospels and this last Passover meal with his disciples there in that upper room. And it's called, appropriately, the cup of redemption. And in that verse, Exodus 6, the sixth verse, we find this phrase, and I will redeem you. With a stretched out arm and with great judgments. God worked to redeem his people through the blood of the Passover lamb. The word redemption, and I think you already know what it means to pay with a ransom price. Satan took us captive when Adam fell. We're all born in sin. We all have a sin nature. Satan took us captive. Jesus Christ came along and paid a ransom price.
Amen.
I'll buy them back.
Praise the Lord.
I want them.
Glory to God.
And remember, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Great verse, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He bought us back through his own blood. You can't leave out 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation received by our tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ,
yes,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, we had a Passover lamb too, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And just as the Jews took that lamb on that very first Passover night, and we're taught, take the lamb, and shed its blood, place it in a basin, and then take its flesh and roast it and eat it. And it's interesting, Jesus used the word, eat ye all of it, drink ye all of it, and that was the same command to the Jews. And they said, if you're not able as a family to eat it all, then make sure you burn that. And then you take the blood in that bowl, and you take some hyssop, and you go over to the door, and you place it on the post and on the lintel of the door. Because on this night, the death angel is going to pass through Egypt. But because you've placed the blood upon the door of your home, I will pass over you. I'll pass over your home. You remember the day that you applied the blood of Jesus to the door of your heart? In other words, the day that you realized, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved from my sin. I need to be saved from all that Satan has tried to do to ruin my life. I need to be saved. And Jesus, you who died on Calvary's cross for me, you who shed your blood for me, I now receive you as my own.
Amen.
So that you'll pass over my sin too. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The cup of redemption, again, I said it a moment ago, is probably the cup that Jesus is showing here in this passage the night before Calvary. You notice back in the book of Matthew, verses 27 and 28, he said he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So when they sat there in that upper room and celebrated that Passover for the last time this side of eternity together, he spoke about the redemption that he was about to give for them and for me and for you. The next day, Jesus drank the bitter cup. He drank it for them, but he drank it for you and me too. He gave his life. He shed his blood so that you and I could be forgiven for our sins so we could be saved. I have a question for you. Are you washed in Jesus' blood? Are you saved? Have you called on him personally to come into your life and save you from your sin? Have you asked him to become your Savior? Have you given your heart, your life to him? That night during the Passover supper, Jesus said something that was kind of heartbreaking and at the same time was very hope-filled. This would be the last time that he would share the cup with them until that day that he'll drink it new with them in the Father's kingdom. The book of Luke, you don't have to turn there, but let me just read this to you. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, we hear these words. Jesus is speaking, and he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And you know what? We've reached that portion in the book of Revelation where the kingdom of God has come.
Amen.
There will be a kingdom set up on earth for 1,000 years. We're going to come back with him. And whether in heaven itself or with him during his millennial reign, the kingdom's coming. The kingdom is almost here. And the next time Jesus celebrates the Passover, and remember, he taught us what the Passover really means. It's not about really what happened back in Egypt with a physical baby sheep called a lamb, but what John referred to as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what's going to be celebrated, folks. Oh, they'll go through all the ritual because they'll be looking back to what Christ did on Calvary. The Jews are going to get right what they've never quite made right through all their years of existence. That 1,000 years, that's all going to be taken care of. But it'll be looking back to Calvary, to the true Lamb of God. And every time the Jews during the millennial kingdom have that Passover night, they're going to be looking to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
That's right.
And for you and me, who've been grafted into the vine, we Gentiles who've become part of Christ, you know what? We remember it in a simple way here this morning, but one day it's going to be Jesus standing in my place.
Right.
And he's going to lead it. What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
That's going to be a great day. Now, he's not here yet, so you have to put up with me this morning. But when you take this fruit of the vine and this little piece of unleavened bread, you stop and consider what he did for you. This do in remembrance of me. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. In a few moments, we'll gather around the Lord's Supper. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your own Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you have called on Jesus to save you? I mean, you have prayed and asked him to come into your own life. I'm not talking about you going to a church. I'm not talking about anything other than you calling on Christ. If that's not the case this morning, you can do that. You don't have to wait. You can do that right now. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you do that? I'm going to have everybody stand with your heads bowed, and I'm just going to have a verse of a hymn played. And if you don't know Jesus, then you are welcome to come, and we'll have somebody take you aside and speak with you privately so that you can know for sure that you are a Christian, that you are saved. So right now as music plays, if you need to come, you are. For those of us who are believers, I want to encourage you right now to just examine your heart as the Word of God tells us. Make sure your heart is right as we anticipate this time of the Lord. Just to remember what you've done for us. Lord, help us to honor you through it as you, in a sense, honored us by giving us your life. Lord, we'll thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're here this morning and you're visiting, we do welcome those who have been born again and know that you have been scripturally baptized, as the Lord teaches that you are welcome to take communion with us. And if you are with us today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you not to take part in this morning. No attempt to embarrass you, but this is something that is given to the believers. Also, as a believer, you need to be right. And so make sure that you are in right standing with the Lord this morning, that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. And as we gather around, let's just remember what the Lord's done for us. Brother Mike, would you pray over the bread, please?
Dear Lord, we just come to you today. We just thank you that we can come to you and bless you and raise you up, Lord. And just pray for this bread that was broken for our body and just remember to you, Lord, these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Would you pray over the cup, please? After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Notice those last words, till he come. Folks, I really believe he's almost here.
Amen.
And he can do our next communion service. I'd be totally fine with that. Praise the Lord. We're going to have you stand together. We'll sing the doxology. So good to have you here this morning. Let's sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please remember to pray for Vern right now. We'll see you back here at 5 o'clock. And make sure you tell our visitors we're glad to have them here today. You can just take your cups and place them in the little holders on your pew there. And we will see you this evening.
Everybody hang on for 1 second. 1 second. Thank you, everybody. You can just go ahead and give it to me. Thank you, Pastor, for being our pastor. We appreciate you. I'm thankful that the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm thankful that he gave us a good under-shepherd. Just the last couple of days, just seeing the pastor's heart with our brother and sister here. It's going through what you're going through. And with Brother Vern, we see our pastor's heart for our church. Pastor, sometimes you guys don't see everything that goes on, what he does. And he does a lot. And we're thankful for you, Pastor. We love you. We love Debbie. We thank you for you guys. And just we have a token of appreciation for you. We want that to be a blessing to you guys. But thank you, and we love you, and we hope you enjoy that. Pastor prays. Pastor hurts when we hurt. Pastor has joy when we have joy. The only thing I see wrong with him is he likes Ohio State Buckeyes. But thank you, Pastor. We love you. God bless everybody. Have a good day.